Psalm 55, just a few verses from that psalm, where David is crying out to God this way. He says, "Give ear to my prayer, O God. Do not hide yourself from my supplication. Attend to me and hear me. I'm restless in my complaint, and I moan noisily because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they bring down trouble upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I'd wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I'd hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest." And then a little further on, after he talks about his enemies and doesn't have very nice things to say about them, he says this: "As for me," this is verse 16 of Psalm 55, "as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, and there were many against me." And then a little further on again, he says this: "Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved." Some will remember a fellow called Peter Kundal on the ABC Gardening Show. And every week he used to sign off with his little saying, "And that's your blooming lot." You may remember that. He was a man who was gifted at making an allotment bloom, and a very gifted horticulturalist and gardener. Your lot, your allotment, is understood as the set of circumstances of your life, the set of circumstances in which you are placed, as wide and as broad as the country in which you were born, the city and town in which you live, the place in the street where you live, and the people among whom you make your life. That is what's known as your lot. That's where you function. In the Bible, and particularly in the Old Testament, the lot was a serious business. And in fact, the high priest, you'll remember, had a vestment in the front of his robe, and in that vestment was a kind of a pocket wherein was the Urim and Thummim. One translation of that is lights and perfections, but it was dice. Effectively, it was dice. And people who wanted to know what God was saying or what God wanted them to do would go to the priest, and he would cast the lot. He would, I'm not sure how it worked, but he would put his hand in and pull out a yes or a no, or a go or a stay, or whatever it may have been. And you'll read that over and over in the Old Testament. That's how things were determined. David would say to the Lord, "This army is coming against me. Shall I go up against them?" And you'll see that he inquired of the Lord. That's how he did it. He went to the priest, and the priest exercised this thing, and the lot would come out as yes or no, or go or stay. Now, that's a trust in the sovereignty of God. The priest put his hand in, pulled out the answer, and that was God's answer. Now, I'm not saying that God didn't speak personally as well, of course, to people. He did. He put constraints on people, and the prophets would hear from him and so on, and the prophets would speak their messages. But by and large, That's how things were determined. When the land was allotted, when Joshua had to carve up the land, it was divided up by lot. And that's essentially how that was undertaken. Today, of course, we have all been made priests before God, and our high priest in heaven helps us and enables us in the decisions as we trust him. But God has put us and places us, each one, within a lot, a framework in and through which we are to live our lives, and actually each day there's an allotment. And in the portions we read from Psalm 55, David was not having a good day. His lot seemed to be a heavy burden, a great burden upon him. He said, "I'm restless at my complaint, and I moan noisily because of the voice of the enemy. My heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Trembling has come upon me." And his first reaction, his initial reaction, was very human, like ours so often, a soulish reaction. "Get me out of here. Oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. I'd go somewhere in the desert, get away from people and all these pressures and all these things. Oh, that I had those wings, I'd just go." Now, when I was a young Christian, some Christians used to say something that troubled me somewhat, and I was never quite sure why. They would say, when someone was under pressure or came into some trouble, "Never mind, God will never allow you anything that's too difficult for you to handle." Or words to that effect. "God won't allow you anything that's too difficult for you to handle." Now, I think it was loosely based on 1 Corinthians 10:13. "He will not suffer you to be tempted or tested above that which you are able, but will, with the testing, make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it." I'll say a little bit more about that in a moment. But what that means, it's actually not a way of escape, incidentally, it's the way of escape. In the correct translation, there is the way of escape. And the Greek word translated escape is ekbesis. And it actually means to go through something to an outcome. It doesn't mean to be snatched out of it. Not that God can't do that, and occasionally he does. But it means to escape, as it were, or find the exit to the correct outcome. That's what God wants to do. Otherwise, why would Paul have said, "He'll provide you the way of escape that you may be able to endure it"? The meaning is that you go through it, but somehow in it there is a means for going through it to his outcome. The testing may be our lot, but he has an outcome in view. And better than that, he's in it with us, as we'll see. Now, the one thing that these people said, people who used to, I would hear say that, the one thing that they said that was correct was that God allotted it. When they said he won't let you or give you anything too difficult for you to bear, they were correct. Usually, it's God who allows and allots. They had that understanding right. On another occasion, David said, "The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places." That's the boundary lines. That's what he meant. "The bounds have been allotted to me and have fallen to me in pleasant places." That doesn't always happen. But what it acknowledges is that someone does the allotting. Someone is the allotter. Okay, we live within a lot or an allotment, and there is an allotter. As I've said, we understand our lot as the framework and the set of circumstances within which we live and move and have our being. Your life is an allotment. This portion of it today is an allotment. Some people are happy with their lot. Some people are miserable with their lot. Some people feel hard done by or even bitter. And of course, there are often things that we can and ought to do to improve our lot. Get a job. Eat more healthily. Exercise more. Spend less. Stop looking within and help somebody else. All of those sorts of things we can do to improve our lot. Now, in your street or in your apartment block or wherever you live, each one lives within an allotment. And that lot defines the limits of your responsibility. What goes on next door or over the road is not my accountability and responsibility. My lot is my responsibility. The junky yard over the road or the rooster that crows in the morning or whatever it is are not my responsibility. I may eventually have something to say about them. But my responsibility is those boundaries, that allotment within which I live. Of course, in the natural realm, if I don't like my lot, I can sell it and go somewhere else where I'm closer to the shops or there's an ocean view or whatever it may be. But, of course, changing my location doesn't change me. Someone said everywhere I go to escape, I turn up. Now, David was in the midst of circumstances that made him. His natural inclination, his soulish inclination was, I want to escape. I want out of here now. The wicked oppressed him. They brought trouble his way to the point where it was taking its toll on his life. He was depressed, restless, and in fear of his life. Friends had forsaken him, and he was surrounded by deception. They're all the things that are outlined in that psalm. Escape seemed like an attractive option. Get out of here. That's how he felt until he came back to the foundation of truth. And that's where we have to come back to all the time. As always, that foundation was in God. It's found in the one who did the allotting. And unless we begin there, we're starting at the wrong place. And things become altogether different for those who know and love and adore and worship and serve him who allots, the one who deals the cards, as it were. Secondly, God has a plan for your lot, for my lot. Yes, today and in my current circumstances and always. The bottom line is that God's plan for each and every lot is the recognition of God's grace and God's glory and of God himself within the lot he has given me, his presence in it. And that in it and outward from it, praise and glory be brought to him. In fact, I would go as far as to say, your lot has been specifically designed by God so that that can happen. Your lot is to become a cell of his presence. And we'll see how that's possible, the only way it's possible. He desires that I bloom within my lot. Oh Lord. I'll go this far as to say,
In fact, he designed my lot to enable me to bloom. Lord, you don't mean this rotten job I've got, or the neighbours I have to put up with, the people at church. Lord, do you mean? Yes, I designed that for the environment in which I want you to bloom. Amen. And it's the very best place for you to bloom. Now, what that requires, of course, is my joyful recognition that God is the allotter and I am the allottee. And that's not always easy. That's the thing that my rebellious self least likes. I want to be the master of my lot and of my destiny. I want to do the allotting. This requires submission. And it asks of me the unshakable conviction of God's sovereignty over everything. Big thing, little things. Of course, a lot of people in the world want to believe, in a vain hope actually, that they are the ones who do the allotting. I'm master of my destiny. I will govern and dictate what my lot is. That somehow I will determine the circumstances and the outcomes. That they can determine their fate. That's a folly. It's true to a very limited extent because we have choices. I can choose what company I keep. I can choose what movies or shows I'll see. I can choose the places I will frequent. But to a great degree, our allotment comes from outside. Certainly, to whom we were born, in what time and place we were born, and among which people and nation we were born, etc., raises those questions that we had when we were growing up. Why? What? Why am I? Why was I born in this place? Why am I here? Our lot is not self-generated. We may do things to improve it, but everyone is still subject to the unknown. We can't be sure what a day will bring. The scripture says the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. There's more than that, though. The plan that God has for my cell is that I bloom within it. But his plan is that the cells together form a matrix, like a beehive or a bee nest, where the whole becomes greater than the sum of its parts and brings glory and praise to God. That's what he had in mind for the church, that every lot, every cell blooms, and everyone in their cell blooms in their place for God, and that the cells are joined together, blooming for the Lord. Now, the world has an expression that says, you play the hand that's dealt you. And that's not far from the truth, except that it leaves God out. It puts the onus on you to carry the load. The world sees the fates, or karma, or chance, or lady luck, as the cause, as the random generator of your lot. And the responses are varied. Some people respond with stoicism. You know, this terrible lot has come on me, but I will tough it out. You just don't know me. Watch me. I will tough this thing out. Others respond react with anger. Some rare individuals, with a quiet determination to make the best of their situation. And there are people we must admire, people who are not yet part of God's kingdom, and yet have made the best. You think of men like Kurt Fernley and others, who, I don't know him, but it appears to me that he's accepted his lot and he's getting on with his life and making something of it, closer to the kingdom than we realise, perhaps. Those in the kingdom are those who come to know and know personally the dealer, the one who's dealing the lot. And they've come to know that his purpose for each one within their lot is that they find him right there in the lot and bloom there as a testimony to his presence and his power, and in the trusting rest that everything my God does is for my good and for his glory, and he has a beautiful end in view. Amen. And not only is the scripture full of people like this, but we've seen some of them, we know some of them, we've just seen one on the screen. There's people like Nick Vujicic, as well as Joni Erickson Tata. And as I've said, people who are not yet part of the kingdom of God. Okay, what is God's expectation of me? God's plan for my lot and for your lot is for you to bloom within it to his glory and praise. What's his expectation of me within my lot? And coming back to the truth David knew so well, he says, as for me, I will call upon God. He has redeemed my soul in Shalom from the battle. See, it was David's soul that was distressed. That part of him that's made up of his senses and emotions and responses. It was his soul that was troubled. It's our soul that keeps us awake at night. It's our soul that causes us to stress about stuff and carry loads that we needn't carry, as we'll see in a minute. But he's redeemed my soul in Shalom, David said. Hallelujah. So what's God's desire for us and expectation in such circumstances, in all circumstances? Here it is. It's in verse 22 of the psalm that we read. Cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be shaken. I want you to see something here. The Hebrew word for burden, in verse 22 of Psalm 55, the Hebrew word is yahab. Do you know what it means? Lot. That's the meaning of it. Cast your lot on the Lord, and he will sustain you. What an irony. In fact, there are some translations that bring it out more beautifully. The ISV, for example, says, cast on the Lord whatever he sends your way, and he will sustain you. So it's not true that he won't send me anything I'm not able to carry. He may, in fact, deliberately send me something I cannot carry, because his desire is that I don't carry it, but I give it to him. Help me, Lord. Help us all, Lord. I cast it on him, as Peter said. Peter said, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may exalt you, casting all your care on him. That's the way I humble myself. I don't humble myself by saying, I've got it, Lord, I can carry this. No. He doesn't want you to do that.
He wants us to cast it on him.
In fact, I think what he's saying is, I only gave it to you that you might learn that we are in this together.
Praise God. What he's after is me learning to access his extraordinary grace. Oh, we need a revelation of that. I need a revelation of that grace. It's beyond understanding. But he wants me to learn to access it, that abounding grace within my lot. This grace, as Paul said, in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That's what he's after. Not that people might hear my whinging, but that people might marvel at his presence and his grace in my terrible circumstances. That's what he's after. We must discover his grace. We must stand and walk in his grace. It is sufficient. Amen? My grace is sufficient. And what we find is that not only is he there and willing to carry with us our burden, but to take us up and carry us as well. Dear Lord, what kind of a God is this? What kind of a shepherd is this? No wonder he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Take my yoke upon you. And you will find, what? Rest for your souls. That thing that reacts to the lot I'm given, or to what happened to me this morning, or what happened to me yesterday, my reaction to that comes out of my soul so often, and he wants me to find rest in it. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. He desires the display of his grace, not a display of a big me, or my stoicism, or my toughness, or my complaining. A display of his grace. This is righteous living. You see, David said, cast your lot on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be shaken. The implication, the very strong and clear implication there, is that those who do this, those who learn this, those who learn and know that the lot in which they stand and move and walk yearly, monthly, weekly, daily, whatever it is that's coming our way, that lot is given by God so that we will cast it on him and walk with him in it and through it and let him share it with us. That indeed is righteousness. That displays his grace and his righteousness. So that we're learning, as we so often sing, whatever my lot, he has taught me to know. It is well. It is well with my soul. And then people see his grace. And that's the life that I want to live. That's the life where grace abounds. A grace that defies the world and its ways. We are so influenced by the world and its ways. It is coming at us in every news article. It's coming at us on the television, through the newspapers, through the media, how we should respond.
Yvonne read an article yesterday about the brother of the shot person in the States who forgave the ex-police officer, embraced her in the courtroom. A moving thing. But there were people whose reaction was, "We have a right to be indignant." There was grace there. And others were saying, "We don't want grace. We want our rights. We want to react. Let there be grace in our lives, in our lot. The lot that God allows us today. Oh, help us, Lord." Let's just review. A lot is something allotted. Someone is dealing the cards. Remember Job. Two, each lot is dealt with purpose. The purpose is that we may seek him in it and that he may be seen and glorified. Three, his expectation is cast your yahab. Cast what is given onto him and he'll sustain you. And four, this is righteousness. Let's pray together.